How did All My Friends Are Dead get started?
All My Friends Are Dead got started in 2011, roughly after I moved from Trenton, Ohio, which is my hometown. I had a band there that we had been playing around with for a long time, and it was a hard move, man. I didn't want to see any of these guys go, but we just couldn't keep the band going without me having a car or anything. I was about 16 when I moved, so I didn't have a whole lot of ways to get there. So I couldn't go like 2 months without playing music, man. It's driving me nuts. So I called up a couple guys that I knew could get down here, and we sat around trying to figure out a band name. See, we get these posts on our Facebook walls all the time, and like on Twitter and Instagram, people saying they show us this book, All My Friends Are Dead, the book. If you've seen it, it's in retail stores like Zoomies and stuff.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
Got like the little dinosaur and all that stuff.
The
on
little
it.
Dinosaur. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I was at a bonfire at my friend's house, and she goes, "You should check this book out. It's really funny." Handed me this book, and I'm sitting here reading. I'm laughing my ass off. I thought it was so funny, man. And I'm looking at this book, and I close the book and look at it. I'm like, man, the only reason I read this book is because of his name. Like, it's funny. This is really funny. I see the second one's coming out soon. I look at this and I go, man, I'm not scared. I'm not going to just take this name because I think it's funny. To me, like, I can look at this name and go, all my friends are dead. You know, when I moved, that's what I felt like. All my friends are dead. I lost all my friends. They didn't talk to me. I could barely talk to them. It was not like they wanted anything to do with me. But where I felt the most at home, you know, was playing on stages in front of people, because all my friends are dead doesn't mean my family is. And every time we go to another city, every time we get up on stage, those 30 to 45 minutes that we get up there, it's family.
I can totally see that, man. And then, like, family's important, too. So.
Yeah, I missed it. I was like, we got to get family going again, man. We have to. And I just got some really cool dudes, and we started writing some really good stuff. First song we ever wrote was Identity, and that was a huge hit.
Well, is that what All My Friends Are Dead considers themselves? Like all the members like you and Jason and Zach and all them, like, you know, like, do you consider yourself a family in a lot of ways?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've never seen a band that really goes out of the way as much as we do for each other, to do things for each other, to help each other out, to look out for one another. I mean, some of the bands we go on tour with, it's like, they don't even want to be near each other.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of that.
Excluding the last tour we just got back from, I mean, those are all great guys. The Party Foul and Ursa Minor, some of the best bands we've toured with. Party Foul being from Illinois, actually, they're amazing.
Well, now, how does being tight like that affect your sound? Like your actual sound, like your songwriting, your style.
Man, I got to tell you, it was something that I was never used to. I was always used to somebody being super strong-headed, taking charge for no reason, acting like they had to write the whole thing, man, coming into this with the attitude behind it, you know, explaining to new members or what have you what we're about. And we sit down and we go to write, and, you know, egos aside and, you know, all this stuff aside, knowing like this has to be a together thing or a nothing thing, the writing is outstanding. You know, we get stuff dialed in so well. It's not like we have to pick it up later or somebody has to like give us a hint on how we might do this. It's superb. I mean, all the way down to the lyrical aspect of it. It is a group thing, and it's awesome.
So you don't have any of that two guys show up at band practice and teach the rest of the guys the music?
No, never, ever. I remember back in high school, I had something like that, and I hated it. I'd show up, and they're like, well, we've been working on this for, like, a couple of days, and it sounds like garbage. I'm like, oh, my God, if I'd have known this, I wouldn't have let you do it.
Well, you know, like a perfect example of that to me is like the Beatles, like Lennon and McCartney wrote 99% of the stuff. But when you hear, when they broke up and they all started doing solo albums, you found out George and Ringo were just as good.
Oh yeah.
You know, so you wonder how much better they could have been.
That's my thing though, is coming into being a band, you know, obviously being a group, and the way I took the spin on it is we're a family, man. We're out here on the road. We share a house basically together while we're out on the road. We got to deal with each other 24/7. So why not be with each other 24/7 than rather despise one another for all this time? And I'm not going to have, you know, four amazing artists who have backgrounds of all sorts. Why would I want to waste an ounce of any one of their talents so I can boost another one's ego for any reason?
Exactly. Well, how does that translate into like your show, your live show? I mean, like obviously you guys are going to sound tight then. I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we get up there on stage and let's say somebody's just not feeling good, you know, we're sick or tired or something like that. We get up there while we play. We'll be sitting there, you know, doing our thing, jumping around and running around and stuff, and we'll see somebody's just not feeling it. I've seen 100 times where one of us will run up to the other one, and we just start goofing off with each other while we're up there. Bam, super happy mood, super great mood. Or, you know, my drummer, you know, he mixes something, and I turn around, he looks just super bummed out. I just turn around and make a goofy face at him, and we're good to go. I can't tell you how many songs we end, we're done with the song, and we're not even done with the set, and we're just high-fiving each other. I mean, we were doing this for years, and we just turn around and high-five. That was tight. And then we on to the next one.
Well, now, since you guys are so tight, let me ask you something for each member of the band. What song in your catalog would each person in your band pick as their favorite to play live, and why?
Shoot. We were just having this conversation the other day. I think most of us, I would have to say between me, Brandon, it would have to be Strong Arm or Motions in our set list that we play off the current record. So I'd be Strong Arm or Motions, and I think Dylan would probably say Motions as well. I know Zach really loves to play Waypoints. Waypoints is super fun. It's just this really bouncy, jumpy song. We actually have a music video for it on YouTube. It's way too fun. That whole party thing was really tight. And Jason, I can't pin what song he likes to play because it seems like it's different all the time. Like he really gets into different songs like on different days.
Nice, man. Well, I mean, how would you define your sound though? Then because I noticed from listening to some of your tracks, you guys are hardcore, but you're not like. I hear a lot of stereotypical hardcore now. Do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, see how hard you can bash the E string. You know,
it's really downbeat, drop F, like gut vocal kind of thing. Like that's all really is coming out anymore.
When we wrote this record, we were like, we don't want to appeal to one thing. Well, we want to be able to go on tour with anybody. We want to be able to play anywhere. We want to be able to do any show. So let's go from left to right, the full spectrum, and put every style that we can on here and not make it sound like it's all jumbled up. They don't all sound the exact same, but they all have a different feel to them, you know?
Yeah. Now who would be your influences then? Like, you know, from when you started out.
My influences personally, man, have been like some of the older bands that are still doing it. Like, For the Fallen Dreams. I fell in love with 100th the day I saw them. The first time I saw them live, the band's amazing. Just little stuff like that. I mean, we're all jamming Counterparts all the time. Comeback Kid a lot. Brandon, our guitar player, out of his influences and stuff, it's like Winter Sun, Thy Art Is Murder, like the real heavy stuff. Like that kid's way too technical. Sometimes I feel like I'm roping him back a lot for some of the stuff that he writes.
So he probably gets into a lot of prog rock too then.
Yeah. He's a real technical kind of guy. On tour when we were driving around, the radio would kick out for a minute, and I'd have to sit there and mess with the tape player a few times, and I'd hear him listen to like the new Born of Osiris album as loud as his headphones would possibly go while he's driving.
Nice. Well, where do you see All My Friends Are Dead in 5 years? Do you see this as like a permanent career move, or do you think, or do you look at this as something that could evolve past now and be sustainable?
Absolutely. I mean, this group of people, I've only had in this band for 3 years. Or not, I'm sorry, not 3 years. I apologize. For a year. I am the only original standing member from the founding lineup. But in a year's time having these guys, we have written a full-length album. We have signed a record deal. We have done 3 tours, multiple things that I don't think any of us saw coming in our career. In 5 years' time, sometimes you don't want to know what the future holds, but in this case, I would like to take a, you know, 30-second peek at it, because I'm telling you, man, it's going to be out there. It's going to be ridiculous. This band is definitely something to keep your eye on, especially with these guys present. This is definitely going to be something big.
Now have you seen the band grow more with the current lineup? Because you guys have been around since 2011, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, and so like in the last year with the current lineup, have you guys gone farther in the last 12 months than you did the previous 36?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I mean,
because it sounds
I've had 13 people in this band. 13 people that have sat down and said to me, this is what I want to do with my life. And I say, that's great. This is what I am doing with my life. I want you to come with me, and I want to make you realize all your dreams, man. Let's do it. 13 people somehow up and left. I get these four guys to look at me and tell me the same thing, but they do it. They run with it. They're tight. They're smart. They know what they're doing. They know what they want, and they know what it takes to get there.
Exactly. Because I've seen a lot of bands, like, you know, it's always one or two members holding the rest of them back.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sure you had that with some of the previous members. You know, I mean, I've been in bands before where it's like it's always one or two guys that are holding it, you know, and not to say that they're bad guys, they're cool guys, they just have a different vision, you know, and
right.
And so, I mean, like, to me, that's proof to everybody listening to this interview that, yeah, if you've got if you've got one or two guys in your band that's holding you back, then cut them loose, man. It's a business.
Exactly.
It's no hard feelings. You know,
we've taken this band as an understanding. Yeah, we're a great group of guys who genuinely have the same dream. But we never, ever, ever take it to the point where, yeah, we've been friends for this many years. We've done this many things together. So I'm going to let all your bullcrap fly. This is a business, first and foremost, from the ground up, period. I mean, when you strip it down of all its glitz and glamour, of all the words, all the music, all the tours, everything. It's business. It's what it is. You cannot let personal decisions affect your business, because if I want to hold on to an employee because they're my best friend and I'm hemorrhaging time because of them, I'm making a huge mistake.
If you're hemorrhaging time, you're hemorrhaging money.
Exactly.
You know, and that's
a bad idea.
Oh, exactly. Well, let me ask you this. With the internet and with the digital age being everything that it is, I mean, I always end up with getting into this conversation with everybody I talk to, and because it's to me the most relevant thing in the music industry right now. Do you think major label is the way to go anymore? Because I've seen bands that are, you know, like that could be on a major label that are saying now that I don't want it. I mean, we're happy doing it the way we are. You know, we have more control. You know, but I've seen other bands that's all they want is they want to be on Sony or they want to be on Capitol. And,
right.
You know,
with the digital age coming, you know, to full circle nowadays, the major label thing is a thing of the past. It is, because major labels anymore, and I'll say right here on the radio, you know, I'll put a big target on my head. Major labels anymore, all they want is money. That's all they want. They want to take advantage of you. They want to take your money, nothing more. They don't want to squeeze every ounce of your talent out onto this record. They want to squeeze every dollar out of your bank account into their hands. Your time is better spent in that basement, in that garage, in that friend's house, in that practice space, molding your craft to the 100% perfection that you want it. You know, it's not that piece of paper that you sign away to say that I made this far. Because take it from someone who's been on a record label and has talked to quite a few other labels. It's not what it's all cracked up to be, man. I mean, I've known one artist, a group rather, 21 Pilots, that came from here, from Columbus, Ohio. They're a great band. They went so far without a label. I love the label that they're on, and I love what they're doing, and I'm very happy for them. But taking it from another artist that's a personal favorite of mine, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. I listen to a lot of music like that. It's a good break. You know what I mean? It's a little different from the hardcore metal kind of stuff that I'm listening to on a daily basis. But those dudes have done so much in their musical career at such a short time with no help at all. Their way, self-sustaining. I mean, one of my favorite lines, quite a few of my favorite lines in his music. One of my favorite lines is, if he did it for the money, he'd have been a lawyer. You know, another line for lack of the words on the spot was, you know, like he kept his soul and his creativity is his own. Like that's it. I mean, chase the label. If that's your dream, do it. But with the digital age being here, Spotify being a thing, iTunes being a thing, the ability that people are just putting their music on YouTube. I mean, I don't know how many labels that you see on YouTube anymore that aren't putting their band's full albums on YouTube. That's it. I mean, kids nowadays, they don't even use the music player on Facebook. I don't even know, last time I looked at ours, there probably isn't even music on there because no one's going to use it. You're on your phone 24/7. You know, why not look it up on YouTube? You want to listen to it. Look it up on Spotify. You want to listen to it.
Yeah, and if you're not on Spotify or YouTube, you're on SoundCloud, so on and so forth.
Exactly.
You know,
Bandcamp, SoundCloud, all that stuff.
Yeah. Man. Well, here's the thing too. One thing I've noticed from all the bands that I've talked to that say they want, you know, that say that major label is their end goal, it seems to me it's almost like a false sense of hope. I mean, I'm not cutting on any of those guys, but like, because I get the feeling they all want to do it so they can because they think by doing that they're just going to have to be able to concentrate on the music and not have to worry about the business side of it, because it'll all be taken care of for them by the, you know.
No way.
I know. But no, but I get that sense from the people, all the people that want that.
It sucks that they don't know it. I won't say our label, because I'm pretty sure I had it, the label that we were on. I don't think I said it thus far, so I'll keep it from saying it so I don't have to get an email later. But we were on a label for a short time. We recorded that full-length album, and we were on tour waiting for this album to come out. I remember sleeping in the garage, waking up to about 115 different messages between Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email. All snapshots or congratulatory messages about our album. And I'm going, what the hell are you talking about? I look at all these pictures. I'm seeing Snapchats of people listening to my album on the internet, but I haven't even listened to it on the internet yet. So what's going on there? I got to give somebody a phone call saying, why is my album all over the internet right now? And I'm still asleep and no one has told me that this is coming out today.
They released it without telling you?
Yes, sir, they did.
You didn't get approval on like the cover or any of that shit? Or?
Nope. I got approval of the cover. I got approval of all that stuff. I sent that out. I picked the date it was to be released 3 days late. It releases on 3 days later than the date that I anticipated it to be released, that I told these people when it was going to be released. When we promoted it to be released, gets released with no promotion from our end to their end. That tour comes through. I get these guys in order. We're like, all right, so let's show off a few things we know how to do. They sell 9 records of their own. We sold 266 in 4 days on the road. Because we're like, hey, guess what? We have this. Let's do it. If it's out now, let's get it.
And they hemorrhaged it out, too, on the internet, which means that, like, you know, that kind of dilutes everything in the spirit of getting people to buy it.
It's like, hey, here it is, but let's put it in 50 different places. You guys can figure it out. I mean, how am I supposed to keep track of where it may even be at this point? You know, I could have sold a couple thousand records at this point, but I had no idea. I don't know where it is. It was astonishing to me, though. I mean, I didn't expect that kind of thing coming into the label side of things for how well it went in the beginning, you know? I started to slowly see things go, and I was like, this is not what it's supposed to be about by any means.
Man, yeah, I hear a lot of stories like that from people who've been on major labels, and they always say that, yeah, that being taken care of feeling turns into controlling real damn quick.
Oh yeah. I mean, luckily on our end, we have a lot of really strong business-minded people in this band. I have a stepfather who was 3 years into law school, so I've learned a few tricks of my own over time. And the whole they try to pull the controlling thing once or twice. I nicked that real quick, and it turned into us making hardcore, you know, business decisions on where this was going to go and what this was going to do in order for us to not only survive the downfall and the breakaway that we were initially going to take that I saw coming after this whole incident. But to be able to keep rolling and not have to deal with anything behind us and keep going forward without having to paperwork and you know, articles and all this stuff that I didn't want to happen. I didn't want any of that negativity spewed from them onto us.
Now, do you think the days of, like, the $60 million record deal that you two got 10 years ago are over?
I think there are a lot of great bands out there that can pull something like that off. I really do. I feel like there's a lot of bands out there who, in all honesty, deserve nothing less than something like that, and that deserve to go even further than something like that, but I don't think it's as easy as it used to be. Something I cannot stop saying over and over again. The guys get so damn annoyed at me when I keep saying it. But we play with a lot of different bands. We listen to a lot of different music in these clubs and in these venues and such. But looking at, like, 2004 to, like, 2006, man, it was easy. Like, it was so easy. I don't play guitar. I'm the vocalist. But I feel like if I'd have picked up a guitar and whipped, you know, four other dudes into it, we could have got signed to something huge just by hitting a couple strings and had somebody sing real pretty. It was easy. Anymore, it's, man, you better be able to play at 340 beats per minute consistently using no triggers, or we don't want anything to do with you. I'm like, oh my God. It's like, exactly. What it is, man. It's stupid. Or you got to better be able to do backflips and set stuff on fire while you're doing something. Come on, dude. Like, no gimmicks.
Exactly.
No gimmicks.
Exactly. Well, what does All My Friends Are Dead have coming up here, man? Where are we going to see? Where are we going to see you guys here from now until the summertime?
We're going to be all over the place, man.
That's why I asked, man.
Yeah, dude. It's gonna be everywhere. We just finished up a tour, the Party Never Stops tour with the Party Style and Ursa Minor, and we didn't want to finish it up as soon as we did. But Van Probs, you know, that's always fun.
Yeah. Now you guys are finishing that tour up tonight, actually. Aren't you?
Yeah, like, they are finishing that tour up tonight. We actually just got home last night. The van just to put on me. I got it in a shop right now, so hopefully we'll be up and running real quick in January. But we got a tour in March with a few bands. I got to clear that up with them and see where we're going with that. We're looking at finishing doing a West Coast tour. Finishing up a Central America tour, going up East Coast for sure. I'll be honest with you, and we're 100% serious, but we are going to another country next year. We will be in either Canada or we will be over in Europe next year. No question.
Nice.
Now,
what are you guys doing to make that? Oh, I was just going to say, what are you guys doing to make that happen? Because Europe is bumping right now.
We are. Yeah, it is. We are. We're going to find somebody down there. Lock and Key. Yo, you guys are listening. Come hit me up. Lock and Key. I would love to come hang out with you guys. We're looking to find somebody down there that just wants to do a run. You know, if it's a buy-on situation, if it's a small run situation, you know, grab some passports, get on a plane, rent a van. Let's do this. Like, that's what it takes. I mean, it's not a invitation only kind of thing, man. It's a Europe, overseas, cross country, everything. It's all free game, man. You have to want it. You have to drive for it. You have to take those steps to do it.
Oh yeah, exactly, man. Well, how can we find you guys online? Where can we find you guys?
Everywhere. Turn your phone on. You're on Instagram. You're on Twitter. You're on Facebook. You're on YouTube. It's all the tags are the exact same. AMFAD, AMFAD, all caps, band, lowercase. Every single one of those tags is the same. We keep all those updated pretty much all the time. We have our merch store for those of you that just can't get to shows or, you know, going to shows isn't your thing anymore. Our album, again, is on Spotify. Doesn't Hurt Me One Bit, man. If you want to go check that album out, I would love it. Check it out on Spotify. Let us know what you think. Pick it up in the merch store if you want. We got hoodies coming up in the merch store soon. That's a first for this band in general. And dudes are tight. They are. Get them while it's worth it, man, because they are tight.